One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. Bo DeKeel is joining me. Daniel Lehman is our producer. And we just had an unbelievable thriller end here on the Lakers winning 117-112 on the Warriors. The Warriors came back. Steph tied it up with another dagger and then just like insanity in pursuit.
Yeah, I mean, it was just wild from there. I mean, it's almost kind of a blur how quickly everything went in that instance, Jared. Like, that was probably the quickest 2 minutes we've had in sort of end of game stuff. I don't even know where to begin with this.
I mean, the obvious one, because you have a strong opinion on this, would be the Jordan Poole shot at the very end, or the Jordan Poole shots in general.
So I don't really like, I don't think Jordan Poole's that good. He has shot selections really terrible, evident by the second to last shot he took, I thought was a really bad shot. Everybody's going to harp on this shot that he took to tie the game. Look at what happened. The Warriors bring the ball up quickly after getting a opportunity here to tie the game. They bring it up. The Lakers do a great job with trapping Curry in the corner. Curry has no choice but to give up the ball. Draymond gets it, swings it to Jordan Poole. Probably about like 5 seconds left when he does it. Jordan Poole, what would you say, Jared? What, like 4 feet off the line?
Yes, probably more than that. I mean, he was like 32, 34 feet out there. It was as far as he can go.
It was a deep, deep three. It was probably in between the halfway mark and the 3-point arc. I mean, it was that deep. But it was a wide open look. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think they're getting a better look than that. And he just missed it short. And it's not a game. This is a game where he had it going.
Ideally, you'd want to call a timeout once Steph gets doubled there. But Kerr, I guess, let it ride. And Steph was able to swing it to Draymond. He was able to swing it to Poole. I think the only frustration with Poole doing that is just that you have time. You have timeouts. Like, you can create yourself a better look. But I guess it's ingrained in the Jordan Poole. And you know Steph Curry would take that same shot, too. If I'm open, I'm open. I'm taking it.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who was, before that point, 6 of 10 from 3. Like, I mean, listen, and I thought some of the shot selection was awful. But at the same time, too, when we're going to say, hey, you know, they had timeouts and things like that, I like that they went for it. There's no guarantee they're going to get an end-of-game look out of this. You know, the Lakers' defense was really good today. And I think you have to give it credit on that. This is the opportunity, and a lot of coaches feel that way. Hey, let's go. Don't let them get their best defenders on the floor. Let's make sure we can attack and try to go right away with that. Listen, we can nitpick all we want with this. Should they call the timeout? What not? All that stuff, things like that. They got an open look. It's not a great look. It was a deep three, but it was an open look. And I don't think they're getting anything better because I don't think the Lakers were letting them get the ball back to Curry.
Yeah, that's not happening. Okay, let's go over to the Lakers because they won this game. They're up 1-0 in this series. They get a huge win on the road. Anthony Davis, he sat 4 minutes in this game, and he just dominated.
He was unbelievable. 30-23, 5 assists, and 4 blocks, and only 1 turnover. Like, that's unbelievable, man. Like, that's, if AD can play like that the entire series, the Warriors have a massive problem on their hands. Like, the way he was playing and was just locked in on almost every possession, again, only sat 4 minutes, you're just blown away with that kind of effort from what you're getting from him.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of lost steam in the fourth quarter. He went 1 for 5 from the field. I mean, the whole Lakers offense lost steam. They only shot 33% in the fourth quarter. They went 1 for 8 from deep. But they were fighting on the glass, and that really comes down to AD and LeBron. They gave themselves some second chances there. And the way they were protecting the rim in this game, like, they had 10 blocks in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really one of those things. I mean, LeBron had a hell of a block in transition. I think just the way they were doing it, Vanderbilt did a great job, I thought, on Steph Curry. Just kind of staying attached to him and hounding him. I mean, really, honestly, just impressed with the Lakers defense. They knew who the guys they could lay off of. Hey, we're going to let guys like Payton shoot. We're going to let Moody shoot. They were even willing to let Wiggins shoot. Like, they were just like, we're going to be up on the other guys. We know our assignments. Like, that was actually really good team discipline as well. Great game plan from Darvin Ham. Like, this is a well-earned win for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, Clay, Steph, and Poole all had six threes, and then it was Green had two, and then Wiggins had one. Like, nobody else really made them pay from outside. But Clay and Curry, yeah, for there were some stretches in this game where it just, like, it seemed like the Lakers just could not keep up with just the pace and the decision-making, all that kind of stuff. But the Lakers persisted anyway just by dominating at the rim.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, when we talk about the Warriors, I mean, the Warriors only had 8 turnovers, 5 of them from Steph Curry. Like, that's tough, man. That's hard in that instance, you know, from there. And despite that, still had 14 more shots than the Lakers overall. I thought the Lakers dominated the paint. They were just, again, kudos to the Lakers. This is a nice win. And this is why it was so important for them to finish the Grizzlies off early, because they got a couple of days rest, and they got, you could see it, where everybody had more bounce in their steps.
No, the Bears awake. There are two numbers that were just wild in this game. The 3-point attempt disparity, it was 53 for the Warriors and 25 for the Lakers. The Warriors hit 21 threes. They hit almost more threes than the Lakers even took. Then on free throws, 29-6 in favor of the Lakers. So these two, like, the two styles of these teams, like, were extremely apparent at the beginning, or like right away at the beginning of the series.
Yeah, and I know a lot's going to be said about the Warriors not getting to the free throw line a lot, and a lot of people are going to complain about the officiating. I just felt like the Lakers were the more aggressive team, and I think when you're the more aggressive team, you get to the line more. And I think that's kind of an important view there, and I think that's sort of what led to that disparity that the Warriors ended up, you know, just having so – I mean, only 6 free throws is kind of insane for the Warriors, right? But I just felt like they were out on the perimeter a whole lot more.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Jared Vanderbilt, who hit a 3 when the Warriors gave it to
barely.
Him.
Barely. That thing, like, crawled into, like, crawled just over the rim. Like, that thing was a line drive to the rim.
Yeah. And the Dennis Schroeder, he had 19 points. He got to the line 10 times. He got to the line more than the Warriors total. And he had some good deflections, like, late in this game. He was actually really putting in that work.
No, I mean, listen, he was aggressive. He did a good job on Steph when he was in the game. He had a clean strip of Steph, I think, in the first half that led to an easy transition bucket. Like, man, what the Lakers are a good defensive team, and you got to kind of point to Darvin Ham doing a great job with that. And they did all that despite giving up 23 rebounds to Kevon Looney, 7 of them offensive. Looney, by the way, just on another rebounding tear. This dude's unbelievable.
Didn't he have like 20 or 21 in the first 3 quarters? Like, he didn't even do anything in the fourth quarter.
That yeah, was it was something like that. He was absurd, you know, with what he was doing on the glass. And I think he just also eventually ran out of gas. He only played 29 minutes, but I think he just sort of petered out.
All right, let's move on to the Knicks tying it up against the Heat without Jimmy Butler. They won 111-105. Jalen Brunson just continues to be the GOAT.
Yeah, I mean, listen, first, let's just go to the Heat nearly stealing this game.
Yeah.
Nearly stealing this game without Jimmy Butler and going, you know, would have gone to Miami up 2-0. But man, Jalen Brunson, who was really kind of just flat out bad in the first half, explodes in the second half. He finished with, what, 23 points in the second half? Mm-hmm. Like, he was unstoppable at that point. And I think that was something that was pretty interesting to watch with kind of just how that all played out for them. The Knicks kind of just continuing to hustle and stay locked in, smart possessions. Julius Randle was huge making his comeback tonight for the Knicks. I thought he made some big, big plays, especially the big one, which was the 3 to the corner to Quentin Grimes when Lowry went to go double.
Yeah, he had 8 dimes. Josh Hart had 9 assists. He was 1 assist shy of a triple-double. That was fascinating. But Randle, you know, I actually tweeted in the first half, it was frustrating watching the way he was trying to play make, where he would just ignore a few of the guys lifting or popping off of the doubles he was drawing. He wouldn't, like, he would shoot when he had a loose double on him. He would look to pass as like a last resort. But I feel like in the second half, he started to really embrace that. I don't know if the coaching staff was showing him some film at halftime, but it looked like Randle was starting to understand the timing on when to look for the pass. And that really opened up the Knicks offense, especially in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, just 8 assists just on that. I mean, in the first quarter, he had a great pass where they doubled him and he found RJ Barrett on cross court for a 3 that he buried. And then I thought, hey, like, he felt pretty confident in what he was doing in those situations and reading the floor. I can't express enough like how big time of a play it was when they found Quentin Grimes. I mean, the Heat are down 1 and making a run here a little bit. And you know, the double team comes. He had Gabe Vincent on him. Lowry comes over to double and give help. And he doesn't hesitate. Fires that pass to Grimes in the corner, who drills it. If they can get this kind of stuff from Randle, I think this is a team that's going to end up in the conference finals. I think that's going to be one of those things. But you also have to be a little bit worried where you say, like, man, the Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler, and you had all your guys, and you barely won.
Listen, man, Spo is just, like, I was watching this game. I'm like, I know it's game two of the second round, but these are one of these games that makes me think, like, is Spo the best coach ever? Because there is, among the many things besides, like, Gabe Vincent and Martin taking over and being the leading scorers in this game, it was the inbound play to Duncan Robinson at the very end of the game where Kyle Lowry lets the ball bounce after the ref hands it to him and they just start executing the play before the actual count starts. I mean, that, like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. It's like they keep coming up with stuff you just can't imagine.
Well, when I was in San Antonio, we had a play like that where guys started moving before the ref handed them the ball. But this was kind of perfect because it caused enough confusion for the Knicks to get them to all let their guard down because Randle was the one guarding Robinson. And he, all of a sudden, Robinson just shoots off, you know, Strus and Bam to the corner for the three. I think you just see Randle going like, oh boy, and then he's got to run over. I think that's just some evil genius stuff that Spo does. I mean, he's an unbelievable end of game coach.
So let's say Jimmy Butler can't play in game three. Did you look at tonight as like, this is Miami's best shot without him, or Miami's going to continue to be in this no matter what, no matter who's on the floor?
If they don't have Jimmy, I think this was their best shot without him. And I think that's a really important thing there. There's a lot of time. These guys don't play again till Saturday. There's a lot of time right there. I think Jimmy's going to be ready to go by Saturday for the most part. And this will be kind of a moot question. And I think it's going to be important because Jimmy adds so much more for this team. And if he can go at like 80% Jimmy, I mean, man, I think that he can win this series. I mean, this is a real toss-up series for me.
By the way, what the hell with the schedule? They're done playing Saturday. I'm on the Sixers-Celtics series. We literally play every other day. There's no gaps in the series. I don't know how that happened.
I'll tell you how that happened. Your team screwed around and ended up in playing a game six when there shouldn't even have been a game five. Okay? And now the schedule's kind of off kilter and the NBA is fixing it so that everybody will play around the same time at game four. And the series can possibly end at the same time, but also your Celtics are continuing to screw around, Jared.
Listen, man, I don't know how many times I can write about them turning it over with 2 minutes left in the game where they have in hand, but maybe they should read The Athletic a little bit more and they can listen to the Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show because Mo Dekeel is on it. I'm Jared Weiss. Daniel Lehman is our producer, and we will see you next time on The Ding.
Ding, ding.